Jim Bowen is part of the looting scene at the start.
Are you serious? I don't trust you. You probably we could be right.
Let's just go and check IMDb for its trivia, shall we?
Well, you check that. I'm going to press play.
Let's do it.
And as the music fades, we are back once again. Good morning, good evening, and welcome one and all, and welcome back to the Unsalted Popcorn Podcast, Directionless Commentary Special Edition. And I should do that twice because I can't operate a keyboard anymore. It's frankly been a shitty week, and that's just capped it all off. Marvellous! Excellent! Right, well done. And how are we all? Morgan nearly died, John's been a pirate, and Laura's currently on Bullseye. Any more updates? So have you looked up the IMDb thing?
Yeah, I was making that up, by the way.
Oh.
I thought you were making it up, but you're still checking it. It turns out you were actually
just in case.
As luck would have it.
Morgan's got the look of someone who has no idea who Jim Bowen is.
She has no idea who Jim Bowen is.
Exactly. Comedian, very racist. Look him up on YouTube.
Yeah. What's it called,
Jim Bowen? Jim Bowen,
Jim Bowie. Jim Bowie, can you imagine David Bowie hosting Bullseye? That would be utterly amazing. How does one explain Bullseye to someone who's never watched it before?
And that David Bowie accent.
I mean, I'm not sure I can explain Bullseye to anyone, and I've watched it.
It's a basic quiz show involving darts, a series of rounds, celebrities, and crap prizes. Surely that's it, how it's described.
I can't argue with that. That's pretty on the money. So there you go, Morgan. All those fun quiz shows you watch today, they're nothing to what we used to have to watch, which involved a racist throwing darts at a board, and if you were really lucky, you got a fake bull as a prize.
One of my absolute favourite kind of bullseye, we're just doing a bullseye podcast now, one of my absolute favourite kind of bullseye stories is watching Bullseye as you used to do all the time in the 80s, and there was a time, looking back now, at the time it meant nothing to me, but as a child there was a point where they had the chance to either keep the money or play for the grand prize, and I think they'd accumulated something like £60, and it was just... There was just a point where, you know, it was like they could give it all up for the speedboat, and they're really thinking about it. They've got until the board revolves to come up with the answer, obviously. And you can see they're really thinking of it. And Jim Bowen, in an effort to help them make a decision, just looked to them very seriously, looked at them right now and went, "Have you bills to pay?" Well, that's life-changing amount. I mean, £60 was a lot of money but it wasn't life-changing.
No.
But you risk it for a speedboat. Outside the high-rise flats.
Well, this is it. Depends on where you lived, you see. If you lived in the arse end of Carlisle, you probably could do with a speedboat, given the periodic flooding. Anyway, what are we watching tonight? Oh, we are watching, unfortunately, listeners will have missed the cracking gag that was going on earlier with Stolen Earth.
Yep.
Followed by an explanation from a Scotsman about how he understands what Stolen is, and I said he had a deep fright and he ignored me. because, I don't know, racists are winning and I just thought I'd join in.
I was convincing us.
Really funny if Morgan falls in a river today, but I'm the one that drowns.
So we're close to the end, as we mentioned last time, of Mr. Tennant's run. And if I understood the description correctly tonight, there are little Dalek-y things coming back.
There are, aren't there?
Yeah.
No, and not in a... we are contractually obliged to stick them in the finale this year kind of way as well. It's actually got a story behind it.
I know. It's most bizarre. I was not expecting this.
Were either of you expecting the Big Bang, the big bad for this episode?
Has
it worked out who it was going to be? Because the rumours were circulating before the episode.
There were rumours circulating. Bruno Langley was coming back.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think it's going to be Jim Bowen.
I reckon Jim Bowen's going to turn up with Tony Green by his side.
Yep.
And a studio audience made up of people who are no longer alive, because I've watched the repeats and the average age is in their 90s. There's no way that there are all... I'm pretty sure that there are episodes of Bullseye out there where Tony Green is a sole survivor. I am certain.
I put money on it. But, you see, they're the easy ones to repeat because you haven't got to worry about signing any more waivers. I think what happens at the end is Jim Bowen has a showdown with the Doctor, where the Doctor has to decide whether he wants to save the universe or have the caravan.
And the board's going to revolve that eerie sounding,
yep. This is it.
High-pitched noise that they used to revolve the board with.
Yep. Yeah, that's the one. But slightly phasing in and out as to mimic and mock the TARDIS.
I agree. And then because... the Doctor won a substantial amount of money in the first round. He then turns it down, and in walks in, I don't know, Michael Barrymore, let's say. just for example, first person who came to my head, Michael Barrymore.
Yep.
And takes over and wins against Davros. So it's going to be an exciting episode anyway.
Unfortunately, it all ends on a sour note because, of course, as we know, the TARDIS does have a swimming pool.
But, you know, original as all this sounds, I'm really sorry to say, guys, but Big Finish have already done it.
Do you know what I discovered today, by the way? I discovered that we're actually following Big Finish on the Twitters, and I didn't even know.
Why haven't you been tagging them in every single episode?
Because I didn't even know. I'm gonna have to start doing that. I'm gonna have to start tagging them.
Morgan's got her hand up.
Oh, sorry, Morgan's got her hand up.
Because she's back at school now.
Do you need to go to the bathroom?
Do you need to go to the bathroom?
No.
Right.
I say, what does it mean if you mock something?
Oh, what does it mean if you mock something?
The mickey. You ridicule.
I constantly mock you.
Take the mic.
Yeah.
Oh, I can easily just get a ton. Get the one at 11 and throw it in the air, and hopefully it will break.
All right, it probably would break. Don't do it.
Put like rub in it, throw it in the air, and then get good Paldy walking about.
Morgan's clearly had some of my drink.
I was going to say she's had some of your special podcast juice, isn't she?
I'm worried that she swallowed. Like, yeah, I was going to say she swallowed some of the River Clyde.
Well, that would certainly. Okay. Tip her over the edge. Yeah. I was going to say the other way to explain the word mock is vegans eat a thing called mock duck because we like to mock people who eat the real duck. Our family audience.
Absolutely. Finally.
Can Do Kiddies Shows is now going on the CV.
Well, I've done two kids shows in 2 days now. I'm like the only comedian in Scotland who's actually got a fringe run right now.
But the thing is, it's not quite a fringe run because you had an audience.
That's a fair point. I'm doing another one next week. Basically, it's Scott's birthday, and rather than having a birthday party, he decided to have a series of socially distanced play dates. So we're like bringing like one or two kids round at a time, and then things got a little bit out of hand because they wanted a pirate theme. And then I said, I've got an idea for a pirate story we could tell. And then suddenly there were props. And now suddenly it's a 20-minute show.
Oh, yeah, because this is for Scott, isn't it?
Yes.
To the listener there, I'm doing air quotes. Yeah, this is entirely for Scott. Dad, I just want a couple of friends round in a pirate hat. Hold your horses. I've got a plan. Suddenly,
there's not a single thing in the show that wasn't in the house already. That's the scary thing. I was able to dress up successfully as a pirate, and Tanya was able to make a ship and a flag and everything.
And of course, you keep exotic parrots, so
we do exactly.
They're just there in the cage in the back. Just take one out, stick it on your shoulder, you're sorted. And obviously, since you had that massive accident and you only have on one leg, it's gone below the knee, and somebody stuck a massive piece of wood up there.
Steady.
You are a pirate. Well done.
Yeah.
I was very lucky in a lot of respects.
I kind of like the fact that, you know, comedians haven't gigged since March, and the depths some people are stooping to in order to get stage time. Their own kid's birthday getting spanned out over 3 weeks just so he can...
The parents that have visited have actually said the exact same thing. They said, "That's just because you're not in the life comedy right now."
Well, I think we should just be grateful,
you know,
that
the really bad thing was we actually had three choices of treasure chests. We were sent trying to work out what treasure chests we would use for the kids to find, and we had three to choose from.
I think we should all just be grateful that your idea of dressing up as a pirate didn't involve gold lamé hot pants.
I think everyone's pleased. I mean, I've got a pair.
We know.
I know, sorry.
I still wake up screaming in the night going, "Not the lamé hot pants." where's the swimmer gone?
Where has the swimmer gone? I think she has gone to the toilet.
Ah. And I was about to say, right, should we start watching the episode? But it's the main member of the audience and now my biggest fan because she laughed at my one joke.
Absolutely. She's just been sent on an errand to pick something up and give it to her mum.
Mum, we're working here.
Back in a second.
Oh, dear.
She's back. I think she wants to show you the birthday card she made for Scott as well.
Well, I saw the pictures of the cake. That was good enough.
That was pretty cool, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It tasted nice too, which is always a bonus.
Well, you can you can have it looking good or you can have it tasting good. The fact you've got both is a miracle.
I'll show you the thing that I just... It's called a pirate.
Well, it's called a pirate.
Oh,
I see, with a wooden leg. See, yep. I wasn't making it up.
No, that's basically a picture of your dad in a fake
except,
beard.
Except the picture, the guy in the picture can grow facial hair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
he can successfully grow a moustache. Whereas I actually did November last year, and people said, "So when are you starting?"
Well, to be fair, you haven't shaved since, and it still hasn't kicked in.
True. Working on it, still working. Anyway, I think Scott's birthday has hijacked it. Scott's birthday and Jim Bowen has hijacked this podcast long enough, maybe. And Morgan nearly drowning. God.
I think possibly on balance, you've come out as a good parent from this podcast. Yes, your eldest daughter nearly died, but look at the party you threw for your kid, for your son. So.
To be fair, she was under her mother's supervision when it happened.
Oh, well done.
The two of them ended up in the clay today and two unrelated incidents.
So I like how you refer to them as incidents.
Yeah, and you crashed into
that's three. Exactly the same terminology that the local papers would use.
Yeah, well, they'd probably spell it wrong and get your name wrong, so. Right.
I had a question to a tree, and she couldn't get her wriggles out, so she had to get her feet loose because she knew she was going to fall in, and the boat tipped, and then they had to use my boat to go get hers, and I went back.
She threw her out the boat. they threw Morgan out the boat to mount a rescue mission. Tanya managed to quite successfully hit a tree in the middle of a river. So there we go. Right, let's move on. We're not editing that. That's staying in.
Oh, that's staying in. Yeah, totally. That's going nowhere. Told you before, the only bit that gets cut is the waffle at the beginning before I press play. I might even cut out the bit where I press play again, but I probably won't because, as we know, I'm fucking lazy. Right, so, are we ready?
Let's do it.
Right. In that case, dear listener, we are going to embark on Stolen Earth, which ends with a showdown between Bullseye and the Doctor. And as ever, when we press play, you press play, and we will watch it all together and talk you through Stolen Earth in 3, 2, 1, and play.
There we go. Oh, the bad nonsense has disappeared.
I've been watching too many episodes of Moore, so I assume already they're in Oxford.
Yeah, just met Rose Tyler. Or Bad Wolf, going back to John's theory.
Yes,
from,
or Bad Actress. Maybe he can turn up in the middle of nowhere and sniff the air and lick a tree and tell you exactly what planet and what time it is. Why did he have to ask a milkman what day it was?
Do just so that you actually care for the milkman. He's been given an identity.
when was the last time either of you actually saw a milkman?
I haven't
seen a milkman in about 15 years.
I can't remember. In fact, I certainly haven't seen one around here for a long time.
We've probably all seen a milkman relatively recently, but just didn't know he was a milkman because he was off duty.
Oh, that's true.
When's the last time you saw an off-duty milkman? We'll never know.
Plus, since they changed the uniform, so they're all dressed as ninjas, you're never going to see them.
Ah, that'll be it. Ninja milk deliveries is absolutely amazing.
Which I'm now in my head sticking to the tune of the Ninja Turtle, so thank you for that.
Absolute pleasure. Oh. That doesn't look like Oxford anymore.
Clean up.
See, that's the problem. That was always the problem with the milkman, you see. You get in your car and suddenly you'd find yourself in deep space staring at an asteroid.
I can understand that.
That's why they had to get rid of Gold Top.
Here's a question for you.
Oh, God.
There you go. Question. Right, why did the TARDIS stay in the same place?
Why did it fix itself?
Why did the TARDIS not go with the planet it had landed?
That would make sense, wouldn't it?
I know, because otherwise, when you think about it, with the normal rotation of the Earth, then the TARDIS can slide slowly.
The TARDIS and then it just start hurtling away. It would be like every time they got up the TARDIS, it would be like stepping off an escalator.
You just basically
have to
throw yourself at a passing hedge, wouldn't you?
Every second regeneration the Doctor does is because he comes out wrong. He just his career into a lamppost.
Oh, speaking of coming out wrong, here's Captain Jack.
Indeed. And of course, at this point, they're relying on people having seen, you know, potentially kids having seen a show that was rated 15.
Yes. That's a good point. Chanto.
Well, they do tone it down for the Doctor Who part of the universe.
Well, they didn't tone it down for the Torchwood part of the universe. Oh. So the younger Morgan, for example, would have watched this not knowing who Yantob and what's her name went on to be a miserable cop.
Who Alan Yantob is?
Well, Alan Yantob. Yes, Alan Yantob worked at Torchwood. Not many people know this.
Alan Yantob and Gwen Stefani. Torchwood. Big finish, you brought that one out.
What? Why is Bernard Cribbins...
Of course they did, no doubt about that. Yeah.
Why is Bernard Cribbins playing cricket? He's too old to be playing cricket in the street. He should be past his bedtime.
But then you're relying on the older viewers, the ones who watch Tortured and very little else in the Doctor Universe, knowing who...
Alan Yantob is.
Who Sarah Jane's kid is.
Well, that's also true, except... Us lot who are old enough would recognise. Oh, she should have been that. If she'd had a guitar at that point, that would have been brilliant. Those of us old enough to watch Torchwood would also be old enough to know who Sarah Jane was.
Yeah, and let's be honest, we all watched Sarah Jane anyway. Didn't watch that series.
No, didn't.
I know.
Did you not?
I never watched it.
We did discuss this the other day that you hadn't seen them.
Yeah, I will get around to watching it, but I'd never actually.
Fans have voiced it.
Like I say, just because this is where that trickster comment came up from, and then I saw that comment on Facebook, somebody listening in and sticking it as their own idea.
Exactly. The fact that he posted that and that we'd only had one download at that point, that's our listener right there. Hello to you, sir.
We found that was Bradley Walsh's first Doctor Who appearance as well. Doctor Who universe-related appearance, was even the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Yeah.
Did we know, by the way, that Bradley Walsh was previously and possibly still is in Law and Order UK?
No, I didn't know that.
That's not run for years.
Oh, right, so he was in it ages ago.
With Freem Radjiman, yeah.
So he's still technically is still in it, and it's not like when they, if you watch it, it'll be there. It's not like when they replaced Kevin Spacey with
Christopher Plummer.
Christopher Plummer.
Oh, you could replace Bradley Walsh with Jim Bullen.
He hasn't done anything that warrants that yet. I think it'd be great if they just went back and replaced Kevin Spacey with Christopher Plummer and everything.
That'd be superb.
Do either of you remember that they did a preview of this episode just before it aired? And it was like 10 seconds and everybody was going, oh, what's it going to be? And it was literally the clip that's just been there of I'm going to take you to the Shadow Proclamation. That was it.
Like, oh, no,
I was about
waiting for this. It's like 10 seconds and it's crap.
Why is that twat in this?
Which twat are you talking about? It's all happening so quickly.
The Dawkins one. I quite like him. He's got a dog.
Because Russell has celebrity friends who he likes to incorporate in his episodes.
But why does Dawkins have to be one of them?
Wait.
I forgot what I was going to say. Yeah, I was about to raise that, actually. Is this one of the first times we hear about the Shadow Proclamation, or have I forgotten it's been mentioned before?
No, it's been mentioned, like, several times.
And the thing was that the way that they dealt with the Shadow Proclamation with Christopher Eccleston and the early kind of David Tennant stuff made it sound like it was some sort of law, as in, yeah, you know, I'm doing such and such the Shadow Proclamation, like almost like I'm dealing with verse 12 of chapter 5 or something, and then suddenly he turned it into some sort of space police force. So if you listen...
Actually, yes, I remember now, because when the Rhino people turned up, they used the Shadow Proclamation as a thing for that. So you can't be here because of... Yeah, yeah, I remember. I do
like
remember
kind
now.
Of rule 12 of the Shadow.
Yeah,
you know,
that was it.
It's like the whole Star Wars parsecs thing. You know, just used incorrectly and then changed retroactively.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. Just basically everyone either has been in or will end up in a cop show through Doctor Who.
Pretty much.
That was Dempsey.
That's Dempsey right there. Law and Order UK. Jill Halfpenny doing the Welsh thing that I can't remember the name of. Wow. Tennant in Broadchurch.
Did you make peace in for it? Because, you know, they're married in real life. Do you think he's got, I'm away to film Doctor Who, you'd expect she'd say,
yeah,
I'd quite like to be in that. Yeah. I'll probably get you. But instead, just said, make sure dinner's on.
As I understood it, when they got married, the deal was they had to be in everything together.
Yeah, you would think so. It's quite sad because she was quite a kind of strong, independent female character, and now she just stays at home making dinner for Dempsey because he's out filming Doctor Who. It's sad.
I remember the riots of 2007. This is unrealistic because no one at this point is either trying to raid Ladbrokes or Argos for the little pens.
I also remember the riots of 2011.
11, thank you. I said 7, didn't I?
I had to shut business early that day, and it was great fun because there was nobody around because everybody was being terrified.
I'm not surprised.
I have to say the week...
And we were in the Midlands, not London.
The way you said I had to shut the business early made it sound like you were doing something really illegal. Well, we had to up sticks and move. We had to take an entire stash with us.
No, but the thing is, you had to close your business because it was rioting day. And as everyone knows, you have to shut the shops and go and join in. That's the law.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, like we had that, but we had that a year after we had the two different... EDL rallies in the town as well.
Oh, yes. It was a big old year up there, wasn't it?
So we kind of knew what to expect, which was our Tommy falling off a bus. which he did after the first one.
Excellent. I still want to know why people tried to raid Ladbrokes and Argos and all they got was little pens. It just seemed a little bit of a waste of time.
Because whenever you set foot in a bookies, you know they're always going to kind of get the better of you.
Yeah, this is it. There's no point piling in there.
So you take the free pen.
Yeah. If you pile in there and try and raid the safe or something, you end up coming out having lost money.
Why is Jack terrified of the Daleks at this point?
He's met them.
They killed him. He got brought back to life, but he knows that they can be beaten because he survives the end of Parting of the Ways.
Yeah, but that's not the point. Daleks is terrifying. And this is scary, and that's the order, and that's the rule, and that's the thing.
And they're in the middle of nowhere, and the Doctor's nowhere to be found.
Yeah, that's why he's terrified. And also because
sale now on.
He's also terrified because he hasn't got a cop show to go to.
It would be a ton less dramatic if, you know, you've got Sarah Jane kind of kissing her son going, I'm absolutely terrified. Everybody else going, oh my God. And then Jack goes, meh.
So did you say a tad less dramatic or a turn less dramatic? Oh, I didn't
a
quite.
A less dramatic. There we go.
And again, I'm mentioning it. I'm going to go back on these. You are the one that mentions it, not me.
I'm just sorry that you can no longer watch an episode you like. You've now got to just sit there quietly and sulk because it's all done for you. Doctor Who doesn't exist from this point forward.
Most people.
There's still three episodes I enjoy.
Most people waited to the cast a woman, but you know Laura was ahead of the curve. She was just like, no, after turn left.
Yep. Everyone was going, oh my God, have you seen what they've done to Doctor Who now? Laura's like, yeah, I'll start watching a while back.
Yes, as soon as they retconned the multiverse in the space of one episode, yeah, I'm not interested anymore.
I remember that being quite woo dramatic.
It is.
As a compare and contrast, this has just occurred to me. You know the opening scene to Revenge of the Sith?
Yep.
Which, when you watch that on the big screen, there is just so much going on that George Lucas just filled every last space he could with a spaceship. That as you're following in, you can't actually work out where it is you're supposed to be going or following until you get there. That worked because it was full of Daleks, but it wasn't too busy and was just fine.
I've lost track of the number of fight scenes that I find unwatchable, like particularly MCU ones over the past few years, because there is just too much going on.
Yeah, totally.
And I know that it's just a trick that they can just get around bad CGI in places, and it's to give some dramatic meaning to whatever's being shown, but...
Oh, totally. I couldn't agree more.
It just needs to be still. I can't think of a single instance in Doctor Who where I've not been able to concentrate on what's going on because it's been going too quick.
Yeah, completely. No, there's been a few...
Sometimes because it's going too slow.
Because I've been drinking.
But there's been a few films recently where they've deliberately... And the Avengers, actually, I think, were guilty of this. The fight scenes were just so chaotic and so quick.
Yeah.
You couldn't see the flow.
I rewatched Spider-Man Far From Home the other day, and the scene on London Bridge is just unwatchable because it's just camera swooping that way with Spider-Man, then over there, then over there. Something explodes over there, but Spider-Man's down there and you don't know what he's done over there. And your mind doesn't work quick enough to keep up.
No, I've got that. I watched that at the cinema and I think I enjoyed it, but I don't think I did at the same time. It was kind of...
I think it's different at the cinema because the scope of the size of the screen allows you to take more in. If you're on a smaller screen, then you automatically have to watch the action down a certain point and you're not just looking around the screen because it's like more noticeable.
Yeah.
I think on a big screen, like something is happening up there, but you're looking down there, so you don't notice as much and it's easier to watch.
I have to say,
but when there's just this big fast mess on a small screen, it's unwatchable.
Yeah, totally. Out of interest, watching Far From Home, did the story make sense? Because my memory is it was a little bit...
Far From Home, that's Iron Man 5, isn't it?
or whatever.
It's stupid, but it makes as much sense as some of the other Marvel beats.
Oh, okay, that's fine. I kind of shied away from rewatching it, and I need to complete the current run. But
it's fine. It's just not as good as the first. But then the first is just Iron Man 4. So.
No, Iron Man 4 is actually is Iron Man 4 not Captain America 3?
No. What, Civil War?
Civil War.
No, that's
Captain America Civil War is just the Avengers 3.
Yes.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. But except it doesn't involve the Avengers in it, so...
It doesn't matter, it's still Avengers. Infinity War doesn't have all the Avengers in it.
No, but Captain America Civil War is basically an Avengers film.
Yeah.
Iron Man 3 is the best Iron Man film. And after that, Spider-Man just becomes Iron Man movies.
Yeah, and Spider-Man becomes Iron Man.
Yeah. But then you see, they kind of had to do that because... they're going to, Danny Jr. has decided not to play anymore, you need someone else to take over.
Yeah, apparently he's a Black Widow. I know it's set before.
But the sad thing is, in the comic books, it's Spider-Woman and Luke Cage who take over. But Luke Cage wasn't a big enough hit on the screen, small screen, and they've never done anything with Spider-Woman. So to introduce them now as a couple running the Avengers, you're going to have three or four films of backstory before you can get to that point. I'm not saying Marvel wouldn't do it, but I'm not... Oh, that's Canine. I'm not too sure where they're going to be...
No, that's definitely Martha.
They all look the same to me. That thing on the wall looked like Canine's face was with added buttons on the nose. That's where I was going with that.
Oh my god! Can I look at John's screen a second? That's a Belle and Sebastian album cover.
That isn't it? It really is. Totally. Oh, that's just absolutely fantastic. That's the greatest hits cover.
Oh dear.
Oh, talking about Sebastian as a weird side turn, inadvertently started watching that one of those When Pop Stars Go Bad things on Channel 5 on Friday night.
I don't believe they were on it.
They weren't, but...
No, I don't think they would be.
Sugar Ross were on there from an appalling interview they gave to NPR where they didn't answer any questions.
Oh, right, okay.
And they clearly just weren't in the mood. And that was them being awkward. It's like, they're Icelandic, let's leave them alone. But also within this program of When Pop Stars Go Bad, they decided to include the time Meatloaf nearly died on stage.
Oh, really?
I don't think that really comes under the diva pop star.
Which one? Because he's done it a few times now.
This was on stage in Canada when he was trying to belt out I Would Do Anything for Love as an encore number, couldn't breathe and collapsed.
How long ago? Because he did it like 5 years ago.
It might have been the five... I think it was 2015. It was a 5 year ago one.
Okay.
And the talking head voiceovers, which were clearly badly scripted, one of them said, "You can see he puts the mic stand down and then tumbles." He doesn't. He just goes down. The mic stand happens to fall, but that's because there's a big fat guy behind it taking it with him. I just didn't think that quite counted as diva behaviour.
I would do anything for love, but I won't do that, and just falls over.
Yes. Then the audience go, "Oh, that's what he wouldn't do." Right.
Yeah.
Good night.
You guys have been wonderful. Good night.
Dagros has lost weight.
Garlic Khan is irritating in this episode.
Do what?
Garlic Khan is irritating in this episode.
Yeah.
I forgot that's what they called it. Do you know that? I'd have taken that as a nickname, but no bugger ever picked it up. You sit down, there we go.
And why are they just staring at that screen, the doctor and... I can't remember her name.
No, her, the woman.
They're just staring at the screen, not doing anything, just to lead into this bit with Donna's hearts.
Why... Oh, this is going to bug me. Why isn't she sent a screen? Why are they slightly offset her?
Because that's...
So that can happen.
Ah, but you could have done that with her being absolutely centre. I've got really sort of started noticing... Yeah. Film direction and stuff more and more, especially watching Morse, because some of that's really bad.
People think putting characters centre screen now is so passe, though. You get them slightly off centre.
You do,
and you leave a big gap in the middle with some light coming through.
Yeah. Bat suit. Always be ready for a bat suit.
That's what was wrong with the Avengers films. No one sat to one side and got offered soup.
She's not really getting red eyes.
Did somebody say superheroes?
Yay!
Minestrone.
Right, we're done.
Sorry, Morgan thinks that they painted the woman's eyes. I know it's going to blind you, but it's going to look really good. It's contact lenses.
It's not. She's right. It's paint.
It's paint. Yeah. She was actually just really on the lash last night. You just all. You need to do is go in and hand on a suit. I don't know if I can do it. I feel terrible. That was eight takes.
It turns out
soup all over that.
Turns out it wasn't soup.
Can I just point out Rusty Davis ahead of his time because the bees were disappearing because of mobile phone signals?
Ah. And yet Chris Chibnall mentions it and everyone loses their shit.
Absolutely.
That's an old Atari game, isn't it?
It was. Oh, slow motion running.
That woman with the red eyes is creepy
because she's not
creepy.
Oh, she's not in it anymore, so you're fine. Oh, sorry, that's not connected.
Yep. To be fair play, though, I mean, you've got to sit there for hours while someone's there with a paintbrush.
I know, it's just...
putting Dulux number 72 in your eyes.
Does Morgan remember what happens at the end of this episode?
Well, I'm not sure. I hope not.
Do you remember what happens at the end of this episode? Just out of interest.
I do. Do you remember... Don't say it if you do remember.
I don't
remember.
Cool. Oh, awesome.
I still remember the dance number.
I like the fact that you're asking Morgan if she remembers, but you don't bother asking the person who's guaranteed not to.
Oh, no, I don't want to spoil anything for you.
it's only
the greatest cliffhanger in Doctor Who history.
He's hanging from an ice wall by an umbrella.
Yeah.
We're talking over everyone now because you keep asking questions. So what is it? I know that's kind of the point, but...
What's the question? Wait.
Yeah, she's got red eyes.
Oh, for fuck. I was hoping you'd moved on. See, if you're still talking about this during the Matt Smith era, I'll be like, I forgot, just drop it.
I like the fact that Bernard Cribbins has got a woolly fez.
She said she'll be blended and she'll put
red paint over her eyes.
Which is probably why they didn't do it.
They must
have
got red contact lenses.
I mean, she can't see red over. Right, okay. That's not how contact lenses work. It's to make her eyes look red. I'm going to have turquoise eyes when I'm older. Maximum extermination, not minimum extermination. Maximum extermination. Just, you know, we realise we've not been exterminating them enough. We need to give them maximum extermination.
We just bring up the popular question, what's black, white and red all over?
they painted that down.
Oh. No, Morgan, no, don't do that. Move your arm. Move your arm.
You can only take somebody from the camera.
Do not screenshot that, whatever you do.
What album cover? Old Red Eyes is back. Beautiful set. Right, Morgan, seriously.
Right, was there a question connected to the dubious arm signal? I know he started him young, but... Oh dear, that's a Morrissey album cover right there. Anyway,
the only thing that makes it more controversial is the fact that she's half German. You're just like, oh, we're trying to move on from it.
Move on.
Oh, wait, I'm an idiot.
No, you're not an idiot.
Oops. Are you not?
You're not.
You can see how they managed to keep the finale and the details within. Away from the public, aren't you?
Yeah.
Because Tennant doesn't step outside until that one scene.
Yep.
And then, like, the rest of the episode, the second part, just takes place in the Crucible. So, it's all studio.
Well, playing snooker.
Huh?
Are they playing snooker?
Yep.
No, the second episode is in Sheffield. Doctor Who being a few years ahead of its time.
And halfway through the final episode, Ronnie O'Sullivan just goes, oh, for fuck's sake, breaks his cue in half and storms off.
So basically, we've gone from darts to
to be honest, let's look at Big Break, hosted by another racist. So,
hey!
Going to
be snickering you tonight. Morgan's got another question.
Yay!
Is it who's Jim Davidson? Or is it where John Virgo get his shirts?
He's a comedian. Is he touring soon?
What's the question, Morgan? What's the question?
Captain Jack.
Is he American? Or is he just in my dad's
house? He's actually Scottish. He was born in Scotland, then he moved to America. And then nobody could understand it. He goes, and he just said, you're going to have to speak English. So he changed his accent.
He does a pretty good damn job of that American accent.
His Scottish accent, that though.
Am I right in thinking at this point, Torchwood haven't done anything?
Torchwood have just been sat waiting.
And Sarah Jane.
Same as Sarah Jane.
Yeah.
Has done nothing. Like, Wilf has done more than Torchwood.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's actually Scottish, but he picked up the accent.
Yeah, he moved to America when he was very young.
Oh, God. You will beat four times. Right, this was spoiled by the fact that Penelope Wilton's name is in the post-credits.
Yes.
That's right, yes.
So you knew that she was going to appear, which is gutting.
She looks tired, though, doesn't she?
It's all right. If she just heads off during the summer holidays glamping in Scotland, it'll be fine.
There was a discussion going on in my journo group about that and about other connected things. And people were asking who it was that the thing was about.
Yeah.
And I came up with the brilliant crossword clue, 10 down, holiday destination causes consternation, 5-7. I quite like that.
I quite like the 10 down as well.
10
yeah.
down.
Well, the thing is, I initially came up just with the clue, and then no one was quite on board, so I added the 10 down bit at the beginning, and suddenly everyone got it.
Hey.
Mm-hmm. I think that's called workshopping a gag. Just something I've never done before.
Ooh, early Zoom.
What's that?
Yes.
Yeah, he said Mr. Smith.
Yeah.
Is this Mr. Smith masculine? I'm going to ask him if they're part of Doctor Who.
Right, I don't think it's the same guy.
It could be. Mr. Smith regenerated as the Doctor.
The disgust on Rose's face when she sees Martha, though.
I know. Move on. You're never supposed to like your ex's new girlfriend.
In other news, Rose is now hosting a game show.
Is she going to turn into a casual racist?
That's brilliant. I didn't realise they had Zoom back then, or are going to have Zoom then. Where are we in the real world timeline in this episode? Is this
2009.
This is a current episode, so to speak.
Yeah, we're up to 2009. We're still a year ahead. We stay a year ahead until the end.
Because it's always in the future.
What's that call by his first name?
Jack.
Yep. He's otherwise known as the Harkster.
Yeah.
The Big H.
His name's Captain Jack Harkness. No! What? His first name is Jack. You mean what is his real name?
Yeah.
John Barrowman. Do you know something?
Who has the same initials as Jim Bowie?
Hey! Andy's, I'm sure he's, has he not hosted a game show?
I'm pretty sure he has.
Almost certainly.
Yep.
It's just Captain Jack Bear.
Did you think his real name was Captain Jack? This isn't real. It's just...
No, that would be absolutely fantastic, wouldn't it? I name this child Captain.
Captain Jack.
What if he doesn't go in the army? Well, he's going to have to now, isn't he?
That's like Catch-22. There's a character called Major Major.
He only gets
the promotion because his surname's Major and his forename and his middle name.
I love that so much. It's absolutely brilliant. Major, 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 Major at some point, isn't he?
That's right.
Yep. Oh, they're talking about stuff again. Yeah. Can I just point out that Roger is also connected to Captain Jack Harkness, but it's not what you think.
He's never appeared in Star Wars.
Actually, there wasn't that Buck. That was Buck Rogers.
Roger was the robots in the Clone Wars.
Ah, see, I've never seen those. Buck Rogers, the little...
They say in Attack of the Clones, the little kind of weird kind of shaped droids that look like they've been no good in real life.
That's, yes, and those, though. I remember those. But what was the name of the robot in Buck Rogers?
2K.
That's it, maybe. Yeah. And I'm sure he used to say Roger.
Hey, Buck.
That's it, yeah. Hey, Buck. I miss Buck Rogers. I imagine it's probably absolutely terrible.
Been released in Blu-ray.
No.
Yeah.
Wait till Big Finish get their hands on that.
A 2K restoration.
Wasn't he in the 25th century?
He was. So you think they'd be able to do better than 2K?
Yeah. Surely you're going to hike that a little bit. And Harriet Jones can only type with two fingers.
Because she's tired.
That's true. Thing is, we've all tried to send text messages at midnight on New Year's Eve. This would just block the network. For those listening at home, my other half has just come back.
Sorry, Morgan, can you stop that, please?
Do what?
Just Morgan was barking there. I'm assuming it was Cannes' dog. Was it?
Yeah, Rachel's just come back, so the dogs have decided to rush off and say hello, and they can never do it quietly.
Really? That was just everybody else in this episode. Imagine a Scooby-Doo disappeared.
Well, actually, Scrappy-Doo is Dalek Khan.
Let me at him.
That would make a lot of sense.
It really would, wouldn't it? Dalek power! Exterminate. Oh man, a Doctor Who Scooby-Doo mashup is on the cards. This would be absolutely superb.
I am starting to really worry about you. I am actually starting to think that she drank too much river water.
Oh, she almost certainly did. Out of interest, did anybody back in the day call that number?
Yes. I seem to remember that goes to a Doctor Who fan service.
I thought it might.
That's like Chris Chibnall's phone number.
No, that's just Doctor Who fan service.
I set them up, you knocked them out of the park.
And why is she why is she working from home? There's not a pandemic on, she should be in the office.
Do you know what? You know, she's working from home and everybody's on Zoom calls. I think that that's just
to be fair, I think the Earth being dragged across the galaxy, then the universe, it would probably elicit a response, probably a week late. At least than it needed to be.
And then 3 weeks after that.
A response such as,
and there's a bunch of arseholes online saying that it's not really happening. And,
yeah, no, this is a total fake. It's all about mirrors. It's mirrors and Darren Brown.
Union is somehow blame Nicola Sturgeon for the whole thing.
Bless me. Yeah.
Wow, Khan's still sneezing into his elbow 5 months into the pandemic. What done you?
I've been doing it since I started working for the NHS. That's how we were taught how to do it.
No, I only started last Tuesday.
It revolutionised the way I sneeze.
The government only told me to start doing it last week, so.
This is really.
I did.
Oops. You know, you know, you said this was a studio set.
And they just run off to the pantry.
That can't be a studio set because that was definitely a location shot.
What, out in space?
Out in space.
That's how they were able to film it. They actually filmed the whole thing in space.
Yeah.
And there was still somebody from the sun there.
Also, this is actually a surprisingly Doctor Light episode because he doesn't actually have to do much, does he?
No. No.
Other than log into Zoom.
It doesn't either, seeing as the following episode, he spends half of it just stood in the crucible with a queue. Let's go down that route again.
I've just actually realised why nobody ever gives spoilers to the kind of Chris Chibnall era stuff.
No one watches it.
Nobody gives a fuck. So back then, you know, if I was like trying to get kind of snaps of stuff, kind of going, oh, David Tennant was seen.
I think what it probably is they're too busy moaning about there being a female doctor, they've forgotten to actually try and spoil the episodes.
Just go, Chibnall must go.
Yeah, it's spun round from them spoiling the episodes to now the episodes being spoilt for them.
Absolutely.
There's Scrappy Doo.
Hey. But I've now got this image of people sitting in the kind of Overlook Hotel just writing Chibnall must go and slowly getting cabin fever.
All work and no play makes Chibnall a go.
Yay! In entirely unrelated news, I watched a documentary about the Go-Go's the other day. Did you know they actually had a number one album?
Really?
Their debut album went to number one for 6 weeks. They are the only band to be an all-girl band who write and produced, wrote their own songs and play their own instruments who had a number one album. So I imagine really probably upsets the Spice Girls a bit.
And it's not happened since.
There is that small point, yes. I don't know if the Bangles never had a number one album or whether there's something about the Bangles we shouldn't know. Oh, why is my mother ringing me?
Bangles had a number one album.
Yeah, well, clearly they weren't playing their own instruments.
Let's add more random words into the script that can be used in the future.
In the Banjo Caverns of Malta Gurney.
Is that famous Dalek folk band?
As well. That's why Davros is blind.
I do like the fact that we had the end of series two, then we had Daleks in Manhattan, and this is almost a three-parter with Dalek Khan with those two episodes.
Yep.
Or rather, three episodes.
Yep.
I do like that.
Whereas, unlike the kind of Godfather and Star Wars, the second one's a shit one.
Yeah.
Why has Davros got a metal hand now? What's he doing with it?
Oh, necrotizing phallosis, know that.
Oh.
Yeah. It's quite funny, there was a bit where the doctor noticed Rose earlier on, and then it kicked off, and then it goes all kind of static, and then you hear Davros going, your voice is different, and I'm going, was he talking about Rose?
Yeah. See, I was just looking at that shot thinking, well, some E45 cream will clear that right up.
They just
cast air. Why is that one Dalek got water wings?
Because they struggle to swim. Don't mock them.
They can canoe like Morgan.
Exactly.
They just try not to capsize.
I believe that is the essential trait to a canoeist.
A canoe?
She wasn't even in a canoe, she was in a, what do you call it?
Rowboat.
It's a rowboat.
As opposed to a canoeist, which is where you take one of those weird walking creatures on a lake and try and capsize.
Probably more likely to capsize then.
I was in a single skull.
She was in a single skull, there you go.
I'm going to go canoeing.
My skull was almost at the bottom of the water.
That's true.
Is it wrong that my favourite spitting image puppet was always the canoe?
The only spitting image puppet that I laughed out loud at was the second Tony Blair.
I don't remember the second Tony Blair. I only remember the canoe.
The first one was I want to be the leader.
Oh, that was it, yeah.
And then the second one was just the immense Cheshire Cat grin.
Yes.
Just walking in for the first time. That's the only time I ever laughed out loud. I enjoyed it. That's the only time I laughed out loud.
Ooh. I had a place in my heart for the Grey John Major.
I love that. The peas.
More pig there.
These are very exciting, Norma.
TARDIS.
I actually picked up a Spitting Image DVD in a charity shop months and months and months ago. We watched it in like the first month of lockdown, and it's from about 1990, and it holds up so well.
Wow. I didn't realise it was actually out on DVD.
There are characters in there that you don't get, but it must have been just after Nelson Mandela was released, because he's quite prominent in one of the episodes.
Yeah.
So we're looking 1990, aren't we?
Yes.
But it holds up. It really does.
It really was. Bang on the money.
Alexandra being a bit of a cad.
Hmm?
You should get that out on YouTube. There was a Spitting Image song about Prince Andrew being a bit of a ladies' man and a cad. You know, that never came back to bite him in the arse.
Well, to be fair, it did turn out that he was a bit of a cad and a bounder.
I'm assuming CAD stands for something.
I couldn't possibly comment. The lawyers would want a word. Apparently he's going to get some sort of birthday honours thing, presumably for dedication to sales of pizzas.
I was going to say, he's got a token for... Token
every time his name comes up, I do fancy a nice nine-inch...
Careful! I think I was overselling it. I think it'd be absolutely hilarious as Pizza Express frantically downsized that the Woking one was one of the ones they closed.
Way are they from each other at the start of this run?
It's a very, very, very long street.
It is, isn't it?
Yes, to the point it's actually two cities apart. One's in Cardiff, one's in Swansea.
Like, Tennant's running for about 10 seconds and he's made it 10 metres from Donna.
Well, he was never that good a runner, was he?
I would never have recognised Rose from that distance. I'd have run up, got half of them in. Sorry, wrong person.
Oh, it only hit your elbow.
Yeah.
Did anybody else do it? I was thinking when they voiced this, I thought they were going to kill Rose.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping.
And then I saw this and I was like...
I'm surprised they didn't.
I thought they'd kill Rose, and then the next episode's the Doctor going Raj, going absolutely mental.
Is this where he grows a new elbow? He does, doesn't he? He grows a new elbow at this point.
Well, yeah, that's the point. You've got the elbow in the jar.
Yep.
she didn't know whether it was an elbow or if it was a bottle sack.
It's quite a well-known medical condition, isn't it, Tennant's elbow?
Yeah. Oh, no.
That's the best pun I've come up with on this podcast.
That's the best one yet, I think, definitely.
I don't even think it's the best one you've done tonight. There's a couple of others, I need to listen back. It was absolutely cracking, but I think you've come up with a couple of good ones. I'm just thinking, like, the same conditions after all doctors. I'm just thinking, like, Capaldi's trip. <laughs> He's regenerating. Oh, this is where it all begins, isn't it? No, don't want to go yet.
Yeah, I too have suffered from McCoy-litis. I should be watching the end of the episode, but no, I'm thinking of sodding puns now. Thanks, John.
Absolutely, sorry. But you know, this is the thing as well. You're now watching this. They've kind of shot the load a bit early, if you pardon the expression. They've shot the load a bit early with the fact that Tennant's regenerating, and then at this point, you go, much as I love Sarah Jane, do I really give a shit?
Yeah, this is it. The glowy hand thing has started.
Yeah, so you're almost kind of going, who cares if they're killing off Torchwood? It's going to change into a 12-year-old boy.
Oh, look, here's Prince Andrew.
No, that was another year later that he turned into a 12-year-old boy. And the worst graphics that they've ever done for a 2B continued.
They really are, aren't they?
Like, anything but that font.
Yes, totally. Thing is, that's kind of slightly ruined. At the time, I think it was quite dramatic. But it's been... The cliffhanger is slightly ruined because we know now what's coming.
Yeah, I know. But it's the same with any... program pretty much that's well, no, but
some, Some cliffhangers, I think, still work. I'll never tire of McCoy hanging from an ice wall with an umbrella. But
okay, we know what's coming, but I remember at the time, I remember that was like third highest story on BBC News after this episode aired.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even going through, but they started the PR campaign straight away. It went onto BBC News. They were talking, is this the end of Tennant's time as Doctor, seeing as it was already rumoured but hadn't been confirmed at this point that he was going to be leaving the following year.
Yeah.
And then it just went into overdrive for a week. I was excited. It's the best cliffhanger this show has done.
Yeah, but to be fair, you lived in the West Midlands. Anything was exciting.
I made sure that I took my break in work the following Saturday for that hour and 15 minutes, I think, so that I could just run upstairs and just watch.
Morgan doesn't recall what happens in that next episode, so... Ooh.
Well, she's going to have to wait then, isn't she?
This is going to be exciting. This is going to be really good. Actually, very quickly on that note, we may have to go to Thursday. Would that be okay?
Yeah, of course.
Right.
Cool. I thought we were doing... When were we supposed to be doing it?
Oh, I thought Wednesday, but I've been booked to do someone else's podcast on Wednesday, so Thursday would be better for me.
Yeah.
I should be chatting with Donna Bond, who I haven't spoken to in a couple of years. So that would be nice. Anyway, that's enough about me. I think... I liked that episode. I thought it was quite an exciting episode, but it's foreshadowed by knowing what's coming and the endless trips around the world saying hello and goodbye to everyone, that you know you're now in for a very, very, very long period of goodbye.
Only about 5 episodes.
That seems like quite a long time to me.
And some people get to say goodbye to you twice.
Oh, yeah. That can only be fun, can't it? But I still think... I think that's a really fun Dalek episode. I think it's a really exciting Dalek episode.
Yeah, it's in the upper New Who Dalek episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, not many of them.
And that's probably because of Davros.
Yes.
Yeah.
I never quite got Dalek Khan. It just seemed to be, there was a little...
It's just an irritating, high-pitched character, which only serves as something which is there to... get some kind of reference to what's already happened.
Yeah, it looks like a bowl of hummus gone off. But what's Morgan over there, before you have more river water, what did you think of the episode?
Interesting.
Was it as scary as Turn Left with the beat? No, right. So you think that was a better episode?
That was nothing. I think Scott could even watch that one.
Oh, that's damning a Dalek episode with faint praise, isn't it? That's not good. Scott shouldn't be able to watch any Dalek episode.
There's a bit of violence in it, Morgan.
Please. Where was the violence? He blew up an elbow. That's not the same thing.
We've all blown off an elbow.
Anyway, right. So we're now into... If that isn't the name of an indie album by the end of the week, we're missing a trick.
There'll be that one guy that tweeted the thing last week's now started a new band.
I've got another doctor medical condition.
Oh, God.
Hey. Peter Clapaldi. Jesus. Sorry.
Oh, dear. Right, where were we? So as we now enter the final run-in, I obviously, you guys are a bit more tuned into what people were saying. What was the general fan view at this point?
The general fan view was, if the Doctor has to regenerate, it's probably about the right time. But I don't want David to go. No, it's probably about the right time. He's had a good run over the course of the past few years. No, but I really don't want him to go. And that kind of, I don't want him to go, has kind of lasted to today.
Yeah, it really has, isn't it? The I like a new Doctor, but I don't like change thing.
I was talking to someone today that still says my favourite was David Tennant. And there were a lot of people that are traumatised by the fact he was leaving them. You're just like,
See, I mean, I never quite understand when we're at this point. If for argument's sake, the internet had existed in the 60s and people were upset that Hartnell had gone. And
they wouldn't care about Hartnell being gone. They'd be fucking talking about the moon landings.
But my point being, if fans could talk then as we do now, I don't think they would be that upset. They would be quite excited that this thing was changing. But we seem to have got to a point over a long period of time, was it nearly 70 years now, which a show based on change has a fan base so resistant to change. I'm not sure how you connect those two.
It's quite terrifying to see some of the stuff that gets written. You just kind of go, "Why do you watch this show thinking Davros is a hero?"
Well, yeah, this is it. I mean, I often think people who talk about the show don't actually like the show.
Yeah.
It's the same with any fandom. Fans are the worst of any fandom because they get so engrossed in it that, yeah, any change is bad and it becomes their child. So they do not like somebody doesn't like their child going off to university or something. It's like that because things are going to change. You no longer have that with you.
Yeah.
Doctor Who's a little bit different because the amount of people that I've seen that would have preferred the show to die than for Jodie Whittaker to come along. Would be the equivalent of, well, yeah, I've raised my child till 18. I would rather them die than go and work in Heron Foods. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know why I went for Heron Foods as an equivalence to Jodie, but...
That is reasonable. I mean, Heron Foods is not a good thing. But yeah, I just don't get how you can be so emotionally invested in something that is inherently built on evolution and change and so resistant to, and inherently built on inclusivity and be so resistant to inclusivity. It's almost like they just don't like the thing they watch.
They don't get it. Do you know what?
Yeah.
They become so precious about it that they really don't, they almost care so much about it that they don't care about it at all. You know, and they forget that this is, you know, I feel like we've gone off the kind of, hey, jokey stuff. We are now talking about a show that, to all intents and purposes, right, we are no longer the target demographic for this show and haven't been for quite some time, but we still love it.
Yep.
I'm sitting here and people might just sitting here saying, why is this show not catering for a 43-year-old man that has been watching it since he was a child? Because
you've
not, really... we should be sitting here going, it's amazing, this show is so innovative, it changes, blah, blah, blah. I'm able to watch it and enjoy it, and so are my children, and I can still go into work and talk about it, like I could go into school and talk about it, and it's great, and it's brought out the inner child in me, and I love it, and I'll embrace it forever. And then you get idiots who just kind of go, oh, well, that's destroyed continuity back from, the, you know,
yeah.
Wasn't that Dr. Pre-Hartnell? And you're just like, do you know what, go on. Off.
Yeah, totally. Because I work with a guy who is far more right-wing than me and very pro-Brexit, and he's a massive Doctor Who fan, but he's like us. He embraces the change, embraces the new stories, and he's on board with it. And if people our age and older can get on with it, then you there, Sonny Jim, 35 and you still got your acne, just get on with it.
Absolutely.
And Tony Blair has joined us.
I'll take the role of Sherry, it's fine.
So you're the brains in the outfit.
But it's just you know, when you watch your grandparents get kind of slightly more right wing and they've gone from being like really nice to kind of looking strangely at people of different ethnicities, and they're like, "Can I go? Don't become a racist, Grant." And I just feel that I would rather, you know, if I stopped enjoying the show, I'd stop bloody watching that. I wouldn't, you know, if I just went, you know, Doctor Who's not for me anymore. As time's passed, I would hopefully just go, oh well, do you know what? I had a good run of it. It's a show that lasted, to all intents and purposes, lasted for like 57 years. It's not my show anymore. I move on, rather than saying, nobody should be watching this.
Well, this is it. I mean, to take that argument across to a different genre. I freely admit to being a Bon Jovi fan in the good old days. Okay? And
what were the good old days of Bon Jovi?
Slipper When Wet, Keep the Faith, New Jersey.
Okay, so that's a pretty narrow window.
Yes.
Well, you're halfway there.
You can have these days for the first three songs, and after that, it's all terrible. But I don't go online, having listened to their new stuff, and slag them off for not doing the old stuff. I've just gone, do you know what? It's not for me anymore. I still like New Jersey, the new stuff. Yeah, I'm good. I'll just move on. I'm quite happy to move on because there's other stuff I can enjoy.
Some people just can't do that. That's the difference. And it's the same for any kind of media, which people find popular for a while and then go off and they can't understand why it's no longer being catered to them because the people creating it want to move on. And music's a good example of it. It happens constantly.
Yeah, that's very true.
Like, I can't listen to anything Radiohead post OK Computer.
You got as far as OK Computer. Well, I can't even get...
I don't like the first album particularly. I think Creeper's an overrated piece of shit. The Bend is a masterpiece in my eyes.
Yes.
OK Computer is overrated, but it's quite fun. I know, fun, Radiohead. However, everybody says, oh, go on to Kid A or In Rainbows or any of their other work. And I can't listen to it because the band moved on.
Yeah.
They do not cater to me anymore because I'm not interested in what they're doing. Do I still listen to the old stuff? Yes, I do.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, interestingly, Aerosmith have kind of evolved and moved around a little bit, but they are still essentially doing the same stuff they were doing in 1973.
Mm.
And so they haven't really ever lost their fan base. But then I think Radiohead are a good example that they've evolved and gone on to do things. The Manics are a good example of that as well, because the Manics of the first two, three albums are not the Manics of today. By any stretch.
Yeah. Well, the Manics of 1996 were not the Manics of 1991 and Generation Terrorist, no.
No, exactly. And yet, you know, they've somehow been allowed, I think because the music press liked them, been allowed to evolve. But something like...
They have, but I've been to see the Manics three times in the past 5 years or so.
Yeah.
And with the exception of one, which was the 20th anniversary of... Everything Must Go, which obviously they just played Everything Must Go.
Yeah.
Not the song, the album, because otherwise that'd be a really, really short set.
Or repetitive.
But they played songs from that period of like 1990 to 1996 because they know that their fans have grown with them.
Yes.
Doctor Who, in this incarnation, I don't think the majority of fans have grown with the series.
No, they don't seem to, do they?
I think if you were to... I mean, I think Jodie's getting about something like 4 or 5 million viewers per episode, which is like half what Tennant was getting.
Yeah.
But that's on overnights. I think it goes up to like 6 million or so for the with the iPlayer repeats. And I would say that half the people who are watching Doctor Who now with Jodie Whittaker were not watching with Christopher Eccleston.
No.
The audience just changes.
Yeah.
And the audience evolves with the series.
I mean, is it to think that they've tried to evolve the show to keep pace with the evolving audience, or whether the audience has to evolve with the show, as in the show's driven it rather than followed it? I feel like they've driven it a little bit by going down the Jodie Whittaker route. And they've said, we are going this way, come with us.
Do you know what, it really depends on why they've done it. Now, the thing about Jodie Whittaker is you can absolutely understand why people might actually legitimately go, this is just a gimmick.
Yeah.
Especially, the worst thing that actually happened, Morgan's freaking out of the spin image. And rightly so, having never seen spin image, she's just like, what the actual... But you know, the problem is that Stephen Moffat almost turned the Doctor regenerating into a woman as a bit of a joke and a laugh, because he actually sometimes commented on the fact such and such, and he did it with a kind of cheeky twinkle in his eye, and you know, and he never actually had the balls to do it himself, and then proceeded to kind of say this, that, the next thing. And I think that people might have embraced him more if they didn't actually half-heartedly believe that it might have been just a bit of a gimmick.
Yeah.
Feels like, and that's the thing, it was a brave choice. The really sad, terrifying thing about it is it should never have been considered a brave choice.
No.
And I'm sitting here going, that really, in my heart of hearts, you know, if Colin Baker had regenerated into Jennifer Saunders or something, I would have possibly said, all right. You know, I almost think they might have embraced it more in Classic Who than they do now.
Yeah,
I think that's a fair point.
Which is horrifying, considering we are now in the year 2020, and we're saying that an audience in 1986 might have been more progressive. That's Sylvester McCoy, and it's the Seventh Doctor and Ace. So we're actually saying that an audience, in my opinion, an audience in the mid-80s might have been more progressive than an audience.
Which is, given the times, shouldn't be the case. Shouldn't be the case at all. Because the world we lived in back then.
Not made a fuss about it.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Well, on that cheery note.
Yeah, no. Sorry, we went off. It's quite sad. And it, do you know, it doesn't help. It doesn't help that some of the stuff that Chibnall's come out with has been wanting.
Yeah.
You know, if Jodie Whittaker, and I actually do think that her opening episode isn't half bad. It's not brilliant, but see if they had given Jodie Whittaker a cracking first season, you'd like to think that they might have gone.
Oh, I think I know him.
Oh, do you know what?
Yeah.
No, it's not. Morgan thought that was Willy Wonka.
It's not. Well, actually, it is. It's Willy Wonka and Jeremy Paxman.
anyway, well, right. But I just think, you know, almost part of me almost wishes that Stephen Moffat had hung around and did our first season.
Stephen 11 a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then season 12, I still think season 12 works. I enjoy season 12. God, I'm totally off on Stephen's name. But yeah, I can see how that would have worked. Yeah. I really can.
Season Moffat was very good, though. I did like him.
I have to say that there's parts of season 11 I like, but there's more that I don't like.
I felt the same with Capaldi's first season, that they struggled to bed the Doctor in because it was quite a sharp change. Because, you know, young man to old man. So they struggled to try and find what they were doing with him. And they, in the case of Capaldi, only found it in his final season. And I think with Jodie, they really struggled to know what they were doing with her and all the companions they'd suddenly thrown in. I think if they'd gone for one strong companion or even two at a push, that would have worked. But throwing in three, you're then really struggling to find your balance because, with the best will in the world, the less enlightened times we find ourselves in, you are throwing a female version of a well-known male character, a young black guy, a young Asian woman, and your Brexit flag-bearing gammon. I don't mean that against Bradley Walsh personally, but old white guy. And that's quite an odd, disparate melting pot to then launch at everybody. And I felt they'd possibly just tweaked it a bit too much, and they could possibly should have found a way of carrying Bill over. Hey, we finally got to the tablets. I think if they could have found a way of carrying either Bill over or having another companion come in alongside Bill to then carry that over, even possibly Matt Lucas could have gone across and given it a bit of lightness and continuity. And I think the fact that they changed everything at the same time hampered Jodie Whittaker a little bit in that first season.
There was too stark a change, and that there are all those things, and also they made the decision not to return any classic monsters. I mean, even just sticking a Cyberman episode in or something might have just said, look, it's a show you love.
Yeah, this is it. I think by not having, or making a conscious effort not to have any classic monsters for that first season, I think was another, they just seemed to almost willfully put endless stumbling blocks in place.
Yeah. Yeah, almost like they went out of their way to make it as hard for themselves as possible.
Yeah.
Which maybe they were trying to set themselves a challenge.
Almost certainly.
Yeah.
Right. Having gone from having a right old laugh to
finally getting our Jodie discussion down.
Yeah.
It's only taken, what, 25 episodes?
Well, I think we finally got there. I mean, it seemed like a good time to do it. So we've got that, all the rest of it to go. That was Stolen Moss. And Morgan said it was...
Brilliant racing driver.
He was so good.
Morgan's got a question. Morgan's got so many questions. It's a Clyde talking.
One more question to go there, Morgan.
One more question. We need to tie this up tonight.
Can we watch the next episode? Can we watch the Fish Fingers and Custard one?
No, we're watching very specific ones.
No, you will sit through Tenant's Demise.
We have to.
We've been doing this in a very specific order so far, but can Morgan just skip forward a few episodes for no reason?
Look,
no, Morgan, we're going to get there.
None of us, Morgan, none of us are allowed to deviate from...
Cliffhanger as well.
Yeah, exactly. You can't leave the cliffhanger. None of us are allowed to deviate from the list, Morgan. Laura has curated this. I got shit for putting one episode in she didn't ask for. We all have to stick to the list, okay? Think of it like school. You can't suddenly go ahead and do lesson 72 when you haven't done lesson 15. You can't take your A-levels without having done your GCSEs.
They've numbered lessons.
I'm starting to genuinely worry about Morgan. She seems really off the wall tonight. You know, by her standards. And I'm just actually going, did she drink some of that water? Is she? She's honestly, she's bonkers.
I think you need to check what was in the water. Anyway, right, on that note, Morgan has been drinking the Clyde. John is concerned. And Laura's hanging out with spitting image puppets. That has been the Unsalted Popcorn Directions of Commentary Podcast. It has been the tonic I needed after the week I've had. Morgan's now gone completely whatever, so goodbye to Morgan. In the meantime, farewell to the long-suffering John who's got to put up with us for the next few days. And farewell to the lovely Laura and her entourage of spitting image puppets. And we shall be back, we think, possibly during the week, where we will carry on watching David Tennant die. In the meantime, this has been us. That's been you. We've been lovely. Thank you for watching. Goodbye.